Coley Campbell is the Senior Executive Vice President of Hockey Operations.
Indeed.
For the National Hockey League. Are you okay, Coley?
In the playoffs, I'm Senior Executive Director of the Dark Side.
I always thought it'd be more interesting if you were Senior Executive Vice President of Hockey Operations for the NBA.
No.
I always thought that would be a far more interesting job.
I'd pay money to see that. Mm-hmm. Of course, you and Stu, you'd know Stu Jackson from your time at the Garden, wouldn't you, Coley?
Sure.
Yes, and I dealt with Stu when he was at their league and in this job, too. But I'd make it much more physical.
Yes. Somehow I knew you would.
I thought you were I enlightened you over the years as to the benefits of having a calmer, cooler, more sophisticated game. I thought you were enlightened. Are you saying no?
All I know is that whoever follows your station, NBC, CBC, Sportsnet, Rogers, they all love aggression. They all love controversy. They all love the crap we don't like. But
I don't like it. I don't like any of it. And I haven't liked it for a long time. But anyway, that's not why we call it.
You get to talk about more things. It's not a boring show then.
Okay, so let's
talk. Wait a sec. You just called my show boring.
No, I said it's not a boring show then. It gets exciting.
So let's talk about last night.
Okay. Which game?
Well, let's deal with the Canadian side first.
Okay? My Ducks, you mean? Are you going to talk about my Ducks?
We're going to talk about Bob's Ducks against Bob Nicholson's Oilers.
Okay.
I
got no problem. Go ahead.
The Corey Perry incidental contact on Cam Talbot. How was that viewed by the league?
Well, John, it's viewed like we try to stay consistent in these calls, that's why I think we get a lot of managers and hockey people asking that we take it over in the NHL situation room from the referees who have the final call on the goaltender interference challenges.
I'm one of those guys, by the way. I think you guys should.
Well, they've done a pretty good job, and they listen to us for the most part. And the whole premise of the coach's challenge was they wanted to give the referees on these two plays, offside and goalie interference, they wanted to give the referees the opportunity to do what everybody else in the world is doing, second-guessing them on high-definition replays. Mm-hmm. So they get to make the better call if they think there's one there when they look at the video that we send them.
Mm-hmm.
And so last night, they looked at it. This is not about fine-tuning every call and the toe-in-the-crease rule again. This is about, we discussed this, was about correcting the egregious situations, and we're trying to stay consistent on what changes we make and on these calls. And so the two referees get together, we send them the clips, they look at it, and this one last night, we look at every factor. Did Corey Perry hit the blocker? Did Corey Perry go into the blue? Was the goalie in the white? Was it a player who we see doing this often, Corey Perry? And we know that he likes to get there a lot and cause interference with the goaltenders. That's one of his strengths, I guess you'd call it. And we looked at everything, and we expressed this to the referees. They made the call, and we were okay with the call.
Let me ask a question. Just one quick question here, because the rules are the rules, and I don't always know that I understand them. So if the defenseman, I believe it was a defenseman.
Yep.
Directed, pushed.
Adam Larson.
Corey Perry into the goaltender or into the crease or into a position where he might be accused of obstructing. Is that Corey Perry's responsibility, or is it mitigated by the fact that the defenseman was the one who essentially forced the contact?
We consider that, Bob, but as you know, the forwards consider that too, and sometimes they use that contact.
I get it, but what would the rule say? Like if you and I looked at it and we both agreed the reason that player got in the crease or interfered with the goaltender is because the defenseman pushed him.
if we felt that was a factor that should be considered, we would point out to the referee, and certainly it could be a factor and has been a factor in some of the calls we've made.
Sure.
All right. So punishment against the offensive player, in this case Corey Perry, would be zero if that was the determination.
Exactly.
All right. So based on that and, what he did or did not do, I mean, it's pretty close as to whether he made contact or whether it was impactful that he screened him, but that's legal. So in your mind, what was the actual ruling? That he didn't make contact or that he was forced to make contact?
The actual ruling that we discussed with the referees was, did Corey Perry, did the offensive player for Anaheim, not allow the goaltender, Talbot for Edmonton, to do his job in the net?
Okay.
And we felt that he was able to do his job, and Corey Perry did not affect the puck going in the net on that play.
Gotcha.
Which is Rule 69-4, incidental contact.
Right, and that's if it's in the white. If it's in the blue and it's incidental contact and he can't do his job, too bad he shouldn't be in the blue. But
right.
We felt that...
You thought he was in the white.
Yeah, we felt that Corey Perry was not in the... And the white is incidental.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the goalie, we got to protect the goalie doing his job in his blue crease. But once if he enters into the white, any part, his glove, his blocker, his pad, whatever...
Fair game.
Unless we decide Corey... And again, Corey Perry is pretty cute at doing those things.
Sure he is.
In this case, we give him the benefit of the doubt.
So the compounding this then...
Good goal, John. It's a good goal.
Yeah.
With your belly aching.
Says the Duck fan.
It's a good goal.
So compounding this is Todd McLellan uses his coach's challenge there and then doesn't have one available 3 minutes later when there was a potential offside. I understand that. I mean, those are the rules. Peter Chiarelli actually probably voted for it. Daryl Cates probably voted for it at the governor's, and that's life. But at the same time, can you explain the process why you wanted the coaches to have this subjectivity, didn't you? When you put the coaches challenge in place, so they would actually have to decide when to use the coaches challenge. Correct.
Right. Look, at the end of the day. And as I mentioned before, I think on the show, I met with the other leagues, and we're all wondering how far do we go with challenges with the use of video replay, and how long are these games going to get?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we took that into consideration. And so coaches will do whatever they want to do, whatever they can do, with new rules that are brought in. They'll massage them. They'll use them to their benefit. And players the same way. You know, if a player knows the referee is looking out to protect him along the boards, he gets hit, he may throw himself into the boards to draw a penalty, and it gets much worse in the playoffs when the stakes are that higher. If a player knows the stick is going to be called, if it touches his face, he may feign the fact that he got touched with a stick, i.e.
Nick Bonino.
The game last night. So it's a tough call for a referee. He sees it. He's trying to protect the player. He doesn't have the benefit of high definition slow motion. And so you have to take that into consideration in any rule you introduce, and how you introduce it is how the players and coaches are going to use those rules to their benefit.
Speaking of replay and the limitations of it, in other words, the coaches only getting one if they're wrong. Is there any conversation happening, or has it happened, about expanding that, or are you concerned about too much replay, too many delays?
Very concerned with the length of a game and too many replays. We
yeah.
want to get it right. We understand that. That's mm-hmm. why maybe we should make it the last 5 minutes. But, Bob, in every game, the last minute and overtime, where we think it's essential, and you don't have a chance to maybe you don't have a chance in the last 2 minutes, but in the last minute and overtime, we take it over and we look at everything. As I said, maybe we should extend that because a team can't really, if they feel they're wrong in the last
yeah, I understand.
Game, they're not going to overcome that. But and certainly in overtime, we want to get the right call, and therefore we take it over. It's not the coaches or it's not the team's obligations to challenge it. We look at all offsides and goalie interference on any goal scored.
Respectfully, I mean, I understand the position of the league, but I mean, life was a lot simpler when you only adjudicated whether the puck was in the net or not on a replay, wasn't it?
Oh.
I mean, it made life a whole lot simpler.
Bob, this wasn't our idea. This was the managers banged at us for a bunch of years on this on expanding video review,
and
we relented after 4 or 5 years. We followed things. We for a full year we did coaches, we did goalie interference and offside, and we presented the findings at the GM's meetings as the season went on in November and in March and in June. And we said, this is what you got. These are the difficulties we're going to present you with. This is the problems. We'd have our own internal debates. What was goalie interference? We'd have our votes, 5-1, 4-2. We said, these aren't going to be easy. They're not all going to be slam dunk decisions. And as you know, in the playoffs, if you two guys are arguing about it right now, Oilers and Anaheim, like, you get passion, like, you see what's going on in the city of Pittsburgh now regarding the Crosby incident.
Sure.
The passion in all sports in the playoffs rises to a crescendo. And even if you have video review, how far can we go in all sports with video review? Like we're gonna review every pitch and every strike and ball in baseball. It's that's a question all sports is.
Well, you can't be a little bit pregnant and yet instant replay in all sports is an attempt to be just that. There was a play last night in the Blue Jays game. Nothing play, but in the bottom of the ninth inning, Blue Jays are down by 2 runs, mm-hmm. and Russ Martin is at home plate, and there's a question about whether he got hit by a pitch, and the umpire ruled he didn't, and so he stayed up there and wound up striking out. Now, was it critical? Could it have changed the game? Who knows? But you can't. It's not reviewable.
Correct.
That's the issue. And now you can review. At first, you could only review home runs. Now you can review plays at the base. And it just becomes like, where do you stop?
But in comparing it to baseball, though, Coley, here, the one thing I would say is that baseball umpires acquiesce to the central office. We do everything. Except goalie interference.
Right, and we felt that's the referee's call on the ice. He's making the call down low. We give them the opportunity to have input on the high sticks and what they saw, and they huddle on the ice, and then we make the final call. But in the goalie, and as I said, in the goalie interference, for the most part, we're in agreement with the officials, and we talk them through it, and we have basically two people,
mm-hmm.
Chris King and Rod Passman, do every call, 1,230 games. They're in charge. One's not there, the other is, but Chris has done more than 90%, so we try to strive for consistency of this call, and if we need to adjust it, it's an easy adjustment at a certain point in the season regarding that. And it used to be that way with kick pucks and knock wood. We've kind of brought that around to a place where it's acceptable, but that was a hard thing to pull in together there for a while, kick pucks. And so it'll be a discussion. I know in baseball, I know they're not happy with the review at second base with the player sliding to second base, and did they knee jerk it? I think it happened in the Blue Jay game, wasn't it, where the player broke his ankle?
Yep.
And then they resulted, and what resulted was a review at second base. And I know baseball traditional people aren't happy with that change. It's. I think what's happened here is that I know what's happened is that. More cameras are in games for the viewer at home and the viewer in the stands. The camera work is better. High definition has made a huge difference in all sports. And so when the world knows something and the officials, the umpires, the linesmen, the referees in all sports, they don't know. They're not seeing what you're seeing at home on your TV. And I think that's what's prompted all sports to ask the question because when you get to the playoffs, the passion rises so high, and everyone gets involved, and it's money's one thing, when teams advance, but just the passion of the fan base and the players and the owners wanting to win, it results in my phone being awful busy every day.
You talk about the passion. Is that why there's a perception that the standard changes in the playoffs?
I think we've changed that somewhat from the past. We called the penalty the other night with 8 or 10 minutes left, and Doug Armstrong in St. Louis weren't happy on a on a scrum. And, of course, it was a 0-0 game. And, of course, you know, they had to score. Mike Murphy's Law. They had to score on that power play. And St. Louis wasn't happy. One of the comments was, well, we don't put our whistles away anymore. And they were warned. It wasn't Doug's still trying to get his head around it. I get it. It's a series where the series stands at 2-1, and the winner of that game is either going to go to 2-2 or 3-1, which is a big difference. And they did score on that play, and it was just their comment was it was just a penalty and a scrum. Why should you take one guy out of the scrum? But a referee felt, hey, this is, you've been warned, it's a penalty, and we don't put our whistles away, and it's just not bedlam out there. So. I think that was true, obviously, John, 15, 20 years ago, yep. I think, with the two-referee system, and we've changed that somewhat.
I do think that there's a standard in a game that changes a bit. But that's my personal opinion. That's my personal opinion.
I don't think there's any question, but it is what it is. Before we let you go, and this may be putting you on the spot, and you may not want to respond to this. You may think it's inappropriate, but I mean, on a personal level, I don't think anybody would anybody question that Sidney Crosby's the best player in the game.
No, he's not. I mean, if
pretty
not,
much
un- one or one A, right?
Pretty much unchallenged.
I think Sidney Crosby. I watched every game he played in the last two rounds last year. He's come to a point. I coached Wayne Gretzky, played with Wayne Gretzky, Mark Messier, Steve Yzerman. Coach against Marilyn Mew, I think Sidney Crosby is in that group.
Yep,
100% agreed. But Sidney Crosby has had at least three and maybe now four concussions. And we do know the severity or potential severity of not only those concussions, but the repercussions later on. If Sidney Crosby doesn't have long-term repercussions from what has happened, he is certainly at ever-increasing risk with each concussion and clearly more liable to get them. It is my opinion that Sidney Crosby and his people need to seriously consider whether he should play again. Do you want to comment on that? I gather not.
Have you read my emails lately?
No, I don't read your emails.
Don't go there.
No,
it's Sidney Crosby's decision ultimately, and the league can't be happy about the notion of their number one player, their biggest attraction, their most entertaining player, even contemplating this. But there comes a point where somebody has got to sit down and say, "Look, you know, you've had a great career. We'd like it to be longer, but." You know, how old was Lindros when he walked away, John?
32.
Was he 32? And how old is Sid now?
29. He's going to be 30 this year.
It would be a shame, but there comes a point where I think you got to have that discussion.
I'm selfish. I have to watch these games. I'm lucky for a job.
We're all selfish, yeah. We want to see the best players, of course.
And I'd like watching Sidney Crosby play now. He goes to the hard areas. He doesn't shy away from going behind the net, taking the hit, make a play, turning,
right.
Twisting, driving to the net.
But that's why he got hit in the head, because he did all that stuff.
That's right.
And you know what? I'm selfish. I want to see him play more.
Yep.
I'm sure he's a big boy. He's got good support. They'll consider what they consider.
Agreed.
And on the other hand, whether it's Sidney Crosby or any player in the league, I think, you know, when they have injuries, particularly concussions, and they think it's time to walk away, then I think they have to make that decision. It's a hard decision for anyone to make.
We appreciate your candor, as always, and we will we'll talk to you down the road or when we need to. Thank you, Coley.
Thanks, guys. Take care.